When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. You
Mr. Conductor, if you please. Don't want to cruise the Riviera. Don't want a diamond mine. Want to smell grease paint in dressing rooms where a coveted Oscar is Hammerstein. Just turn me loose on Broadway under a neon moon. Give me some jokes and a corny routine. Give me a popular tune to warble. Give me four boys to dance with, hoofers who twist and twirl. Just turn me loose on old Broadway as a musical comedy girl.
A two.
A three.
A four.
It's tricky.
Vodo.
Vino.
Boop boop.
Adu.
Hey!
Ha!
Boop boop.
Adu.
Vodo.
Vino.
Hey! Give me four boys to dance with, hoofers who twist and twirl. Just turn me loose on old Broadway as a musical comedy. No melodramedy, musical comedy girl!
Well, if you were to pick one choice for a musical comedy girl, would it have been Bette Davis? Well, in this case, from the review, Two's Company, it was Bette Davis making a musical comedy debut. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM, Baconic Public Broadcasting, emanating out of the 2017 Hamlet of Southampton, New York. Well, if I sound a little froggy today, it's because the winter's, effluvia have overcome me, but here I am delivering an episode for you folks, and perhaps it's not inappropriate because the folks you're going to be hearing today on Broadway to Main Street are not singer-performers by nature. They are dramatic actors from the stage, from Shakespeare, and from Hollywood who decided to give it a shot on old Broadway. So today's show is called Legit Legends, and we'll listen to some of the great actors and actresses who decided to give it a go on the American musical stage. Well, it's hard to say when this actually began, but musical theater was largely populated by singers or comedians until the late 30s, when Kurt Weill and Maxwell Anderson decided to do a musical about Peter Stuyvesant in the early days of New Amsterdam. And that, of course, was called Knickerbocker Holiday. And they knew they wanted someone with gravitas and humor, age, wisdom. So the usual, you know, what, Eddie Cantors or Georgie Jessels weren't really going to work. So they called an actor in Hollywood named Walter Houston, who is the father of John Houston, but a great dramatic actor. He was the, I don't know what you'd say, the Morgan Freeman of his day. And he sang a couple of notes over the phone, and they said, that's good enough. And Walter Huston in Knickerbocker Holiday was not only the first great actor to be a musical comedy star, but gave the following song for the ages. September Song, music by Kurt Vile, lyrics by Maxwell Anderson, performance by a legit legend, Walter Huston.
But it's a long, long while from May to December, and the days grow short when you reach September. And I have lost one too, and I walk a little lame, and I haven't got time for the waiting game. And the days turn to gold as they grow few. September, November, and these few golden days I'd spend with you. These golden days I'd spend with you. When you meet with the young men early in spring, they court you in song and rhyme. They woo you with words and a clover ring. But if you examine the goods they bring, they have little to offer but the songs they sing and a plentiful waste of time of day. A plentiful waste of time. But it's a long, long while from May to December. Will the clover ring last till you reach September? And I'm not quite equipped for the waiting game, but I have a little money and I have a little fame. And the days dwindle down to a precious few. September, November, and these few precious days I'd spend with you. These precious days I'd spend with you.
The first way to lose a man, you've met a charming fellow and you're out for a spin. The motor fails and he just wears a helpless grin. Don't bat your eyes and say, what a romantic spot we're in. Just leap out, crawl into the car, say it's the gasket, and fix it in 2 seconds flat with a bobby pin. That's a good way to lose a man. He takes you to a baseball game, you sit knee to knee. He says the next man up at bat will bunt, you'll see. Don't say, oh, what's a bunt? This game's too hard for little me. Just say, bunt, are you nuts? With one out, two men on base, and a left-handed batter coming up, he'll walk right into a triple play, the same as in the fifth game of the World Series in 1923. That's a sure way to lose a man. A sure, 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 sure way to lose a man. A splendid way to lose a man. Just throw your knowledge in his face. He'll never try for second base. 98 ways to go. The third way to lose a man. The lifeguard at the beach that all the girlies adore swims bravely out to save you through the ocean's roar. Don't say, oh, thanks, I would have drowned in just 1 second more. Just push his head under and yell, last one in is a rotten egg, and race him back to shore. That's a swell way to lose a man. You
You found your perfect mate, and it's been love from the start. He whispers, you're the one to whom I give my heart. Don't say I love you too, my dear. Let's never, never part. Just say, I'm afraid you've made a grammatical error. It isn't to who I give my heart, it's to whom I give my heart. You see, with the preposition to, who becomes the indirect object, which makes the use of whom absolutely imperative, which I can prove to you with this very simple chart. That's a fine way to lose a man. A fine, 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 fine way to lose a man. A dandy way to lose a man. Just be as well informed as he. You'll never hear, oh, promise me. Just tell him where his grammar errs. Then mark your towels, hers and hers. Yes, girls, you too can lose your man if you will use Ruth Sherwood's plan. 100 easy ways to lose a man.
That, of course, was Rosalind Russell from Wonderful Town. We're looking at legit legends, and I guess Rosalind Russell was the first great female movie star to come to New York and knock 'em dead in a musical. And that was 1953. And what would I say? She and Walter Houston were not gimmicks exactly, but they were certainly the exceptions to the rule. And in 1956, a light comedian from England named Rex Harrison, who was sort of a minor movie star but a big stage star, came to play the lead as Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady. Now, Noel Coward was offered the role originally, turned it down, and he said that if Rex Harrison weren't the greatest light comedian in the English language, the only thing he'd be good for is selling used cars on the Portobello Road, which meant that he had a lot of charm. Well, here is the man himself from the London Cast album, I think that's 58, after he had settled into the role for a number of years, Rex Harrison giving the, to me, the definitive, or at least the seminal, performance by a dramatic actor in a musical up to that time. Here he is, just an ordinary man, but no ordinary performer, Rex Harrison.
I find the moment to let a woman make friends with me, she becomes jealous, exacting, suspicious, and a damn nuisance. And I find the moment that I make friends with a woman, I become selfish and tyrannical. So here I am, a confirmed old bachelor, and likely to remain so. Well, after all, Pickering, I'm an ordinary man who desires nothing more than just an ordinary chance to live exactly as he likes and do precisely what he wants. An average man am I, of no eccentric whim, who likes to live his life free of strife, doing whatever he thinks is best for him. Well, just an ordinary man. But let a woman in your life, and your serenity is through. She'll redecorate your home from the cellar to the dome, then go on to the enthralling fun of overhauling you. Let a woman in your life, and you're up against a wall. Make a plan and you will find she has something else in mind, and so rather than do either, you do something else that neither likes at all. You want to talk of Keats or Milton. She only wants to talk of love. You go to see a play or ballet and spend it searching for her glove. Let a woman in your life, and you invite eternal strife. Let them buy their wedding bands for those anxious little hands. I'd be equally as willing for a dentist to be drilling than to ever let a woman in my life. I'm a very gentle man, even-tempered and good-natured, whom you never hear complain, who has the milk of human kindness by the quart in every vein. A patient man am I, down to my fingertips, the sort who never would, ever could, let an insulting remark escape his lips. A very gentle man. But let a woman in your life, and patience hasn't got a chance. She will will beg you for advice. Your reply will be concise, and she'll listen very nicely, then go out and do precisely what she wants. You are a man of grace and polish, who never spoke above a hush. Now all at once you're using language that would make a sailor blush. Let a woman in your life, and you're plunging in a knife. Let the others of my sex tie the knot around their necks. I'd prefer a new edition of the Spanish Inquisition than to ever let a woman in my life. I'm a quiet living man who prefers to spend the evenings in the silence of his room, who likes an atmosphere as restful as an undiscovered tomb, a pensive man am I, of philosophic joys, who likes to meditate, contemplate, free from humanity's mad inhuman noise. Just a quiet living man. But let a woman in your life, and your sabbatical is through. In a line that never ends, come an army of her friends, come to jabber and to chatter and to tell her what the matter is with you. She'll have a booming, boisterous family who will descend on you en masse. She'll have a large Wagnerian mother with a voice that shatters glass. Let a woman in your life. Let a woman in your life. I shall never let a woman in my life.
Of course, Rex Harrison, thank you for letting his talent into the life of the American musical theater. This is Larry Maslon, a little froggy today, please excuse me, but today we're looking at legit legends, actors, dramatic actors of the stage and screen who turned their hand to the Broadway musical. Now, being a dramatic actor didn't mean you couldn't sing. Here is a major actor in films from the 40s and 50s singing one of the great songs from South Pacific. See if you can guess who it is. This Nearly Was Mine by our mystery movie star.
One love to be living for. paradise. Still saying that paradise once nearly was mine.
So who was that? Hands up, anybody? That was actually George Sanders, who started in England. We know him from Rebecca and All About Eve. He never did a Broadway musical, although he was supposed to play the lead of Sheridan Whiteside in the 1967 Cherry and dropped out due to family issues during its previews in Boston. George Sanders, not a bad singer, huh? Well, in the early 60s, a movie came out called Ship of Fools, which is one of those all-star international Hollywood movies. And it had Oscar Werner and Simon Signore and Jose Ferrer and Vivian Leigh and Lee Marvin. So we're going to hear two out of those three in their musical Broadway debuts. First, Vivian Leigh from Tovarish with Jean-Pierre Aumont, which she did a very acclaimed performance in. And then Jose Ferrer in Noel Coward's The Girl Who Came to Supper. So here is a trio of legit legends. We're going to hear Vivian Leigh, Jean-Pierre Aumont, and Jose Ferrer.
Wherever music and laughter are ringing, it's all for you. Whenever nightingales practice their singing, it's all for you. Each day the sun gets up at 7 to shine for you. Grapes don't do wine for you, right on the vine. 10 million roses are blending their rarest perfume for you, all in the hope they'll be chosen to brighten one room for you. Music and laughter and nightingales singing, it's all for you. And by the way, darling, I am too.
Such flattery, such elegance, you almost convince me is true.
It is.
You're laughable.
But lovable.
But lovable. Which brings me to the subject of you.
My favorite subject.
Oh, I know. Ladies parade on the Champs-Élysées, and it's all for you. Wearing their most daring décolleté, and it's all for you. And if a skirt reveals a bit of the knees, my dear, it isn't the breeze, my dear, the reason is you. Mademoiselles in their latest Chanel's raise a cup for you. And little girls all are partying just to grow up for you. Ladies of glamour and little girls glamour and call for you. And by the way, darling, I do too.
Curt, clear, and concise is the way that a lady should be. I am not a perfectionist who seeks the sublime. All I ask is a woman who won't waste my time. I'm frankly sick to death of females who procrastinate, who guard their virtue like a sort of holy grail. I much prefer the type who's willing to cooperate, concentrate, smack on the nose, bang on the nail. Coy maidens who shed bitter tears at the thought that they might be misled, and who faint dead away at the sight of a bed, soon find out that my parting advice can be curt, clear, and concise. notebook if I should philosophize. At moments such as these, I find myself at ease. In matters of the heart, I'm sure our points of view indubitably harmonize. You're quite a connoisseur.
You're flattering me, sir.
I feel that really you look on sex clearly and factually, which saves you quite a lot of time and tears. You have an air, libertine, debonair.
Well, sir, actually, I've been engaged for nearly 7 years.
You must excuse me, Northbrook, if I seem to minimize the prevalent idea that sex should be austere. I've always had a notion since you all emotion was a cracking bore. And as I mentioned before, Kent, clear and concise is the way that a lady should be. She should not sentimentalize the physical act and believe she can dodge biological fact. I think it is behaving really indefensibly to take exception to an amorous advance. Give me the kind of girl who mutters comprehensively, sensibly, off with the lights, on with the dance. Though moralists say that it's better to honor and love and obey, I have found that a casual roll in the hay without bridesmaids, confetti, or rice is more curt, clear, and concise.
Jose Ferrer in The Girl Who Came to Supper. I underrated Vivian Leigh a little bit earlier. She actually won the Best Actress in a Musical Award. That tends to happen when these legit legends come to Broadway and they take a big leap of faith and they play the lead in a musical. They often get rewarded with Tony Awards. Well, one of the biggest leaps and one of the most successful would have to be Richard Burton. And when Lerner and Lowe did their follow-up to My Fair Lady, which was Camelot, they needed an actor of such substance and warmth and depth that they had to get the youngest, most attractive Shakespearean star of his day, who is Richard Burton. He wasn't quite Dick and Liz yet. He wasn't quite the world-known phenomenon. He made a couple of movies. But Burton's contribution to the musical can't be underestimated. I would say, even though all the songs in Camelot are worthy, he was able to take them to a different level. It was like turning a Lerner and Lowe song into a Shakespearean soliloquy. And here he does exactly that with How to Handle a Woman, Richard Burton.
How to handle a woman. There's a way, said the wise old man, a way known by every woman since the whole rigmarole began. Do I flatter her? I begged him, answer. Do I threaten or cajole or plead? Do I brood or play the gay romancer? Said he, smiling, no indeed. How to handle a woman, mark me well, I will tell you, sir. The way to handle a woman is to love her, simply love her, merely love her, love her, love her. Thank you. I will tell you, sir, the way to handle a woman is to love her. Simply love her. Merely love her. Love her.
Richard Burton as King Arthur, a musical role that turned him into a Broadway legend. Hello, this is Larry Mazlon, your slightly froggy host of Broadway to Main Street. Here today we're listening to legit legends, great actors of film and stage who tried their hand at that peculiar institution known as the American musical. Well, by the time the late 60s came along, this was pretty much I wouldn't say a cliche, but everyone had kind of thrown their hat in the ring, and the stakes were raised a little higher when Katharine Hepburn made her musical debut as Coco Chanel in an Alan J. Lerner, Andre Previn show called, not surprisingly, Coco. Here she is holding down this, what would I say, transatlantic hoedown. This is the only song I know about that involves department stores, knockoff dresses, French designers, and Katharine Hepburn. Here she is from Coco.
Paris hates the dresses, gave them all the axe. But everything's fine right down the line. For Orbach,
Bloomingdale,
Vest, and Sack.
Horrible, says Paris, speaking of the slacks. But wait till they see the hip they'll be
at Orbach's, Bloomingdale's, and Vest, and Sacks. Cheer up and smile, my lady's face is too long. 180 million growing Americans could be wrong. Clothes that have a simple line seem never old or sloppy. Plus, the fact the other kind is goddamn hard to copy. Out of date, says Paris, youth is what she lacks. We guarantee this, they just can't miss. At Orbach's, Bloomingdale's, the best and Saks.
Do all your copies wear as well and last as long as a real Chanel? Are all the copies you make and sell exactly the same as a real Chanel?
They're totally identical, in every way authentical, and made to a perfection no collection could surpass. Except the colors run a bit, the seams become undone a bit, the wool is made of plastic, and the plastic's made of glass. And occasionally they go up in flame, but they're practically, yes, practically the same. TDS says Paris, flatter than her chest. But what'll they say on opening day at Orbach's, Bloomingdale's, Saks, and Vest? Here they may not want you, we want all you have. Or what do they know? We know they'll go at Orbach's, Bloomingdale's, the best man, Saks, Fifth Avenue.
They're mad about the dresses, wild about the slacks. This heavenly four that I adore, from Ortons and Sackingdales and Blooms and Orbach's and Saks. These handsome rugged angels tell me to relax. They know that I'll sell like creme caramel at Orbloom's and Backingdales and Dales and Backs and Dax and Backs and Saks. God bless George Washington, Sam Goldwyn, and Ike. Three cheers for Al Capone. And God bless the eagle on the top of Peak Spike. These saintly men of muscle, filled with charm and poise, are positive that I'll knock them flat at
Orbach's, Sackingdales, and Blooms.
And Saks.
Which one does Bill want to marry? Margot today? Margot on stage. Or that one, 19-year-old Margot Channing on The Late Late Show. Who's that girl with a permanent wave and the dress below her knees? Who's that doll with the open-toed pumps? Would you kindly tell me, please? Look at her, Miss 1946. Teenage Margot, queen of the 40s flicks. Mallarooney, who's that girl with the Maybelline eyes, acting like she knew the score? Ixnay, daddy-o, I never saw that girl before. Who's that girl with the permanent grin and the stockings with the seams? Did that kid with the caps on her teeth launch a million GI's dreams? Where is she, that girl of yesterday? With her falsies leading Lou Ayres astray. Boogie woogie baby, who's that girl with the chic shoulder pads? Could it be that long ago? No siree, bop-foo, riaki-saki, she isn't anyone I know. Watch her dance, you can tell that she's hep, 'cause she digs that jump and jive. Wind her up and she really can't act, you would swear that she's alive. How she smokes those brand new filter tips. Watch her pucker those red hot tangy lips. Hey Barbary Bop, who's that girl in the platform heels? Who could that tomato be? That snazzy chick, fly die, fly die, trucking on down Tuxedo Junction
in the pinstripe suit
and the upswept hair. Boogie woogie bugle boy from Company B. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Me, hubba hubba.
Well, that was the winner of the 1970 Tony Awards Best Actress in a Musical, Lauren Bacall. And Bacall made her debut as the lead actress in a musical the same year as Katharine Hepburn did in Coco. So we're talking about a trend, and she beat Hepburn out and reinvigorated her career. So this, again, opened the floodgates for all our legit legends. And again, what's interesting, as I said earlier, this gave them a chance not only to do a good performance, but to wow Tony voters. And in 1973, Christopher Plummer, who in my opinion can do anything, proved he could do everything by playing the lead in Cyrano with 8 songs and several duels and a bravura performance that won the Tony Award for Best Actor in a Musical. So here is Christopher Plummer as the one and only Cyrano de Bergerac.
From now till forever, the whole scene has changed. The atoms within me have been rearranged. I throb with emotions ecstatically high. I stride over oceans, I punch at the sky. The air I'm inhaling is vinously strong. I seem to be sailing on torrents of song. The ugliest ogres I kick in the shins. I swim the Atlantic with magical fins. I chop all the cherubim under their chins. From now till forever begins. Now she knows that I exist. Life's a rose that she has kissed. Bells are bouncing, flags unfurled. I'm announcing the birth of the world. From now till forever, the heavens are here. Angelical trumpets resound in my ear. The moon is mere money to lose or to win. My bones are of crystal and silver my skin. The heroes and gods are my kin and my kin. From now till forever begins.
Now she knows that he exists. Life's a rose that she has kissed. Bells are bouncing, lights are glowing. These announcements
prince in the birds of the world.
I breakfast with princes, I banquet with kings,
I swoop down on eagles, they feather their wings.
As swift as a whirlwind, then they can run. The stars are his bullets, the thunder his gun.
I hunt and I eat the red meat of the sun.
The bell will forever.
Open the doors! Open the doors! Ah, Paris. And threading the fog, a silver skein, like a magic mirror, breathes the same. Trembling, compact of myth and mystery, you're going to see now what you're going to see.
To the Porte de Nerf.
To the Porte de Nerf.
Determined to do this wondrous deed. Will he rue this or succeed? If he will not, or he will, we won't know till we're in the game. Come now to forever, the whole scene has changed. The atoms within him have been rearranged. As swift as a whirlwind, he'll leap and he'll run. The stars are his bullets, the thunder is done. He'll hunt and he'll eat the red meat of the sun. The love he'll forever is gone. From now to hell, to the port to hell, the hammer and head, send to hell, your foul track, he'll save for him a wreck, who can tell us now?
Christopher Plummer, Tony Award-winning performance as Cyrano. A couple seasons later, a great Shakespearean actor named Ian Richardson came to New York to do the first major revival of My Fair Lady 20 years later on Broadway. He gave a performance that I remember as if it were yesterday and proved that you can be Shakespearean, a great actor, and even sing a little bit to play Henry Higgins. Here's Ian Richardson singing a hymn to him.
What in all of heaven can have prompted her to go after such a triumph at the ball? What could have depressed her? What could have possessed her? I cannot understand the wretch at all. Women are irrational, that's all there is to that. Their heads are full of cotton, hay, and rags. They're nothing but exasperating, irritating, vacillating, calculating, agitating, maddening, and infuriating hags. Pickering?
Yes?
Why can't a woman be more like a man?
Hmm?
Yes. Why can't a woman be more like a man? Men are so honest, so thoroughly square, eternally noble, historically fair. When you win, we'll always give your back a pat. Why can't a woman be like that? Why must they do everything the others do? Can't a woman learn to use her head? Why do they do everything their mothers do? Why don't they grow up like their fathers instead? Why can't a woman take after a man? Men are so pleasant, so easy to please. Whenever you're with them, you're always at ease. Would you be slighted if I never spoke for hours?
Of course not.
Would you be livid if I'd had a drink or two?
Nonsense.
Would you be wounded if I never sent you flowers?
Never.
Then why can't a woman be like you? One man in a million may shout a bit. Now and then there's one with slight defects. One perhaps whose truthfulness you doubt a bit. But by and large, we are a marvelous sex. Why can't a woman behave like a man? Men are so friendly, good-natured and kind. A better companion you never will find. If I was hours late for dinner, would you bellow?
Of course not.
If I forgot your silly birthday, would you fuss?
Nonsense.
Would you complain if I took out another fellow?
Never.
And why can't a woman be like us? Mrs. Pierce, you're a woman. Why can't a woman be more like a man? Men are so decent, such regular chaps, ready to help you through any mishaps. ready to buck you up whenever you are glum. Why can't a woman be a chum? Why is thinking something women never do? And why is logic never even tried? Straightening up their hair is all they ever do. Why don't they straighten up the mess that's inside? Why can't a woman behave like a man? If I was a woman who'd been to a ball, been hailed as a princess by one and by all, would I start weeping like a bathtub overflowing, or carry on as if my home were in a tree? Would I run off and never tell me where I'm going? Why can't a woman be like me?
Well, if every legit legend was as musically talented as Ian Richardson, boy, would we have a lot of talent on Broadway. Now, in the late 70s, I saw a Kurt Vile musical called Happy End on Broadway, and a young actress from Yale named Meryl Streep played the lead. Very demanding score, because Kurt Vile, obviously, and Brecht, and she never recorded it, alas, but it was Meryl Streep, and let's hear a little of her vocal chops from the film of Into the Woods.
What did I clearly say? Children must listen.
No, please.
What were you not to do? Children must see.
No.
And learn. Why could you not obey? Children should listen. What have I been to you? What would you have me be? Handsome like a prince. But I am old. I am ugly. You are ashamed of me.
No.
You are ashamed. You don't understand.
I'm no longer a child. I wish to see the world.
Don't you know what's out there in someone has to shield you from the world. Stay with me. Princes wait there in the world, it's true. Princes, yes, but wolves and humans too. Stay at home.
I gave you protection, and yet you disobeyed me.
No.
Your prince will never lay eyes on you again. He will never lay eyes on anything again.
What did you do to him?
It doesn't matter. Because where you're going, no one will ever see you again.
No! No!
There you are. Yes, there's that face. That face that somehow I trust. It may embarrass you to hear me say it, but say it I must. Say it I must. You have the cool. clear, eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that upturned chin and the grin of impetuous youth. Hear the sound of good, solid judgment whenever you talk. Yet there's the bold, brave spring of the tiger that quickens your walk. Faith in my fellow man almost falls apart. I've but to feel your hand grasping mine, and I take heart. I take heart to see the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet with the slam, bang, tang, reminiscent of gin and vermouth.
Big beaver, boiling hot with run off his fever. Gotta stop, gotta stop, gotta stop that man.
I believe in you.
Don't let him be such a hero.
I believe in
stop
you.
Stop that man, gotta stop him. Stop you. That man, gotta stop him. Stop you. That man, gotta stop him.
That was Daniel Radcliffe, yes, Harry Potter, in the revival of How to Succeed. Little doff of the hat to our friend Bonnie Grice, who's such a big fan. Well, today we've looked at legitimate legends, actors and actresses who can bring their classical chops to the musical stage. And with Judi Dench, you get the whole package. She was the original Sally Bowles on the West End in Cabaret. And here she tackles Sondheim's great Send in the Clowns, which she did at the National. Not in New York, but she did it, again, as a benefit performance. It is a definitive mixture of musicality and dramatic talent. So Judi Dench, our final legit legend today on Broadway to Main Street.
Can't move.
Where are the clouds? Send in the clouds. Just when I'd start opening doors, finally knowing the one that I wanted. Making my entrance again with my usual flair, sure of my lines, no one is there. Don't you love fast? My fault, I fear. I thought that you'd want what I want. Sorry, my dear. But where are the clowns? Quick, send in the clowns. Don't bother.
Desiree, I should never have come. I'm sorry. To flirt with rescue when one has no intention of being saved. Please try to forgive me.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.